but he's a football coach, to be honest. He plays basketball, so he's a football coach. My high school, I played for two great high school coaches, one in baseball, one in basketball. Jack Gallagher was my, he was a legendary high school coach in Pennsylvania, basketball, and Doc Doherty, who's still alive, was my baseball coach. And they were really, really good teachers. Jack Gallagher was a real tough guy. Jack Gallagher was a close friend of, disciple, I actually helped each other, of Bobby Knight. And Bobby Knight would clearly be somebody that I would, I still have his, little defensive pamphlet from, you know, 100 years ago. Coming into the league, Dick Harder was a great influence and a great help to me because he was my assistant at Portland, particularly on the defensive end, because he had been a great defensive coach in Oregon, but with Riles, with the Knicks and stuff. But Dick really helped me with the transition to the difference between NCAA and NBA rules and things you have to do defensively in the league. And Pop, the last 5 years, has helped me enormously in terms of, we share a lot of the same tenets of our defensive philosophy, but he does some things different defensively than a lot of other teams in the league. And I'll obviously steal a lot of that from him. But I'd say those guys. And Hal Whistle gave me my first job. I was an assistant for 4 years for Hal Whistle, who's now Nelly's staff at Golden State. Hal Whistle really helped me an awful lot also.
You mentioned that your father was more of a football coach.
He was a football coach.
Was he a football coach in college?
Yeah, he was a college football coach. University of Scranton, a small school, Division III school, Jesuit college. Not unlike Seattle University, as a matter of fact. But it was a Jesuit college in Scranton, which is where we grew up, best friend. He was the football coach there and the athletic director. At times, he coached basketball, baseball, but because it was a small school. He was really a football player. He was a football player at Fordham, and he played with Coach Lombardi and those guys at Fordham. He was a football guy.
What position?
My father was a lineman.
Lineman?
It's a
hog?
Yeah, he's a good
football coaches obviously have a unique personality in a way that they deal with coaching. How did that kind of influence you over the years?
Well, it was really more the type of a man he was and how he treated players and the discipline, the organization, the work ethic. It's funny, because I didn't think of it there. I should have said something. I learned an awful lot. Like when I was at Wagner's division was Division III at the time. They have one of the best Division III football programs in the country. Mm-hmm. The guy's the head coach now. As a matter of fact, I hired him. He was an assistant, and I was the AD when I was at Wagner. I hired him as they won a national championship. Walt Hamline's his name. He's the AD and the football coach. But I learned a lot from those guys organizationally. Football coaches use their staffs better than basketball coaches. Now you have to because of the amount of guys and specialization, the offense and defense and all that shit. But I'm going to go seek out Mike Holmgren. I did it with Bill Parcells when he was with the Giants in Jersey, and I'm going to do it here with Mike. I'm saying his name right, correct?
Yeah.
I'm going to go introduce myself. And I'm going to say, Mike, if you don't mind, I did it with Steve Mariucci with the Niners when I was at Golden State. I want to learn from there, how they do things. I mean, the way they chart, the way they break film down, the way they delegate, the way they work with individuals. I think there's a ton to be learned from football coaches and how they manage their staffs and how they coach. And I hope I can develop a relationship with him and watch how the Seahawks do it.
And again, that's just because of the nature of football.
Yeah,
coaches.
But they do a better job with their staffs than we do. I mean, in college, particularly in a school like Wagner, we're all in the same building, and like I walk into a big, like this, my assistants were in the same room with six football assistants. They're sharing like four desks and stuff like that. But to see them like on, they play Saturday, and to see them in their Sunday breaking down a tape and then meeting with their groups and things like that. So I like the specialization, but I really like the way a football coach oversees that whole thing and uses his assistants. I felt I learned an awful lot about utilizing the talents of my assistants from watching football, like the football guys at Wagner and Mooch and different guys I've been with.
You mentioned the defensive pamphlet from Knight, and you still have that. How much has that become kind of the basis of your mentality?
It would be hard to overstate. It's just, he's real big about guarding the ball and getting help the other guy. It's team defense. Mm-hmm. There's one guy guarding the ball, but the other four guys have help responsibility.
Moving in that rubber band thing.
Exactly. It's not, he didn't invent it. I'm sure he stole it from somebody else himself. But I think as far as the teacher of the game goes, it's hard for me. I don't ever want to say the best. But it's hard for me to imagine anybody who's a better teacher of the game of basketball than Bobby Knight. Both hands, too, not just the defense, but his motion offense and space of the floor and all that stuff. I mean, he's as good a teacher as I've seen in the game.
Is it becoming harder to teach defense in the NBA because of the younger players that you're getting?
I mean, that's interesting. It may take a little bit longer initially because I think in the old days, you had guys that came out of, not that high school coaches don't do a good job too, they do, but if you had a guy come out of a 2 or 3 or 4 year college experience, particularly at the higher level, they were better prepared to play the game.
Yeah.
They weren't more talented, but they had been part of a system, they'd been disciplined, they'd been made to understand how important defense is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a little bit of a transition, but everybody's got the same problem, and everybody's dealing with it. But Pop has a term called corporate knowledge. What the Spurs have, that it's simple, but a lot of people don't understand. Timmy and Manu and Tony and Bruce have been together for whatever, 6 or 7 years. So, Timmy's been together with Pop for 10 or 12 years. Even our other guys, it's now Michael Finley's second year. It was Bano's third year. It was Robert Orr's third or fourth year. With the same system, with the same coaching staff, with the same teammates, their corporate knowledge is unbelievable. So they do it a little bit better than other people do it because, they just start the year. Like when they go to training camp next year, it's almost going to be, he almost fights the boredom, fatigue thing. Like, holy shit, here we go again. Here's our shell drill. Here's how we're going to do this. Here's how we're going to do that. So he doesn't necessarily have to hit him on the head with it because they already know it. But it's constant during the course of the year, buffing it up. So that by the time the playoff comes, they're back playing that way. It's really hard to get to that in this league. And that's one of the things that excites me so much about this. Sam understands that when you can build to that situation where you've got a lot of players who understand that you win with defense, that we got to do all these little things right, and then the final product's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then you can't get there like overnight. He talks always about not skipping steps. Sam's one of his expressions is don't skip steps. If you understand that mentality, it's great. Sometimes, and I don't want to generalize about young guys, but sometimes young guys don't understand. The good thing about San Antonio is Tim Duncan's got 4 rings because he understands that thing works. Mm-hmm. So that's transmitted down to Bruce and Tony and Monica. So when we get a young guy, or when they get a young guy, or when they get somebody who's a free agent from another team, maybe it's a team that's had great offensive success and won 55 or 60 games, but you get tired of not getting by the second round or not getting to a conference final. And say, again, there is something in this defensive shit. That does help you to win a championship. And then it just perpetuates itself. Guys want rings.
So you get automatic buy-in, these guys come in.
With San Antonio, it's unbelievable. Yeah. That corporate culture is there. And it's, again, when you have Duncans and Robinsons, when you have Popoviches, when you have these other guys.
Yeah.
But I don't care about that. Other franchises in this league have really good players, too.
Uh-huh.
But they haven't had one guy in charge for a long time, and they haven't had this one vision of, like, this is the way we're going to do it. Buy in or you're going to be out of here. It's not my way or the highway. But in essence, it is. If guys come to San Antonio and they don't fit in a nice way, they move them on. Sure. They're not there.
So in essence, that's going to start with you and Sam.
But we're going to try, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, you look at all the champions of it all. Recent history, the 4 San Antonio ones, clearly Miami, clearly Detroit,
sure.
The 3 Phil Jackson L.A. ones, the Chicago ones. Those teams were all very, very good. They were all among the best defensive teams. The constant was the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were better offensively than others. Some of them were better rebounding than others.
Yeah.
They were all good defensively, every single one.
Were you in college when you sensed you were going to become a coach, or was it afterward, or what?
I knew if you could go back. Unfortunately, you couldn't, and read a little when you're in fifth grade. There was a time I wanted to be a pilot and all that. I wanted to fly planes. I'm still fascinated. Every time we land in Boeing, I love looking around at all the crazy different aircraft they have there. But I know if you looked in 7th grade or 6th grade or 8th grade, like when you write 200-word composition on what you want to be when you grow up, I would have said a coach. I'm sure it was because of my father or the guys. I've really been lucky. But I remember distinctly the names and the guys that I played for in bitty basketball. I don't think they have bitty basketball out here, but like that little 8 foot, 6 inch mm-hmm. bitty basketball and mm-hmm. little league and Pop Warner football. I know that, like, I was lucky. I played for a lot, or I just respected coaches because that's what my father yeah. was. I had all good experiences. And like, I, you know, I, a coach to me was a really good thing to be. That was yeah. something that I aspired to be.
Yeah.
My father was upset with me and my mother that I didn't go to law school, because when I finished at Fordham, I made right. application. I was supposed to. Digger had stayed at Fordham, I probably would have gone to law school. But I'd have been, and Digger coached only 1 year at Fordham, yeah. my senior year. But if Digger had left and stayed, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't have had an opportunity.
Right.
Digger left, and then Howe got the job, and I got like what we call a GA now.
Uh-huh.
But like, I was supposed to go to law school. My parents were upset that I didn't, because they wanted me to do something legit with my life,
yeah.
not be a coach.
Yeah.
No, I always knew. I mean, it would have been a Dr. Jack Rand, not that kind of career, but like Jack's got his, you know, Jack's got sure. his doctorate, but he was going to be a coach. I might have gotten a JD, but I was going to be a coach.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to
yeah.
do.
Okay, thanks. How important is it to have that that real good defender in a defensive system for it to work? I mean, obviously, at Bowman,
it makes an enormous difference. Bruce or Timmy or David,
right.
even Rashad was there. We had both. We had two guys in the beginning. It was David and Tim, which was scary.
Yeah.
But then even when it was Rashad and Timmy, when it was Nazi and Timmy, when it was Fabrizio, everybody said, Fabrizio Alberto, how's this going? People finally saw Fabrizio Alberto can play. When you do get by Bruce Bowen, or you get by Bruce Bowen is an exceptional luxury to have. But the whole San Antonio thing at the core is, if you do get by the perimeter, you're going to deal with Timmy or Fabby or Francisco or Nazi, or take your pick, David Robinson. You ain't getting to the rim. You ain't getting easy stuff against them. You'll make some jump shots. You might make some free throws, but you're not getting a lot of layups. You're not getting a lot of points in the paint. And, so it's both. Bruce Bowen, like this year, guarded Iverson and Carmelo in the Denver series. He guarded Steve Nash in the Phoenix series. He guarded Utah. He guarded Darren Williams in the Utah series, and he guarded LeBron. I mean, you know, he had to guard Ray when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
When Ray was hurt, he had to guard Rashawn. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bruce is guarded. That's what he does. He guards the best players in the league. It's a phenomenal luxury if you have a guy like that. I mean, we need to get or develop that here for sure.
How do you do that?
You find somebody that understands. Like Bruce understood a long time ago he wasn't going to get paid to make jump shots and to dribble the ball and do the other stuff, that his way to get in the NBA and stay in the NBA was to defend. And fortunately, in Pop, he found a guy that appreciated, hey, this guy helps us win just as much as a guy scoring 25 points and doing the other stuff. And Bruce is so much a part of the fabric of the San Antonio Spurs. There's a lot of teams Bruce couldn't play for, not because he's not good enough, because they don't have a use for a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio is almost an integral part of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bruce has a bunch of rings. You know, Bruce contributed as much as, you know, I mean, clearly Timmy and Manu and Tony deserve all the accolades and everything they do, but Bruce Bowen's right there with, you know, what it took for San Antonio to win those championships.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great.